In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We are in Exodus chapter 7. And Moses has just been instructed to begin the first plague. That's right, striking water that it may turn to blood. Now, before we jump into the passage where this happens, I want to kind of paint you a picture to help you understand the structure of the 10 plagues. It's so important because there is a pattern that I don't want you to miss. Now, the first plague is the blood plague, where the fresh water is struck and it turns to blood. If you know some of the details, we discover that Moses comes to Pharaoh in the morning. It turns out this coming to Pharaoh in the morning repeats two more times for a total of three times. The first plague, the blood. The fourth plague, the flies. And the seventh plague, hail. The second structure or second pattern is in the next plague, which we'll get to in the future. That's the plague of frogs, plague two. Now, in this second pattern, Moses doesn't go to the river in the morning to meet Pharaoh. He goes to Pharaoh's palace in the afternoon. And that would be plague two, the frogs, plague five, the pestilence, and plague eight, the locusts. Then the third pattern, which we'll see in the third plague, is Moses proceeds with the plague without warning, as if to say, all right, Pharaoh, I met you in the morning and I gave you a plague. I then met you in the afternoon at your palace and gave you a plague. You ignored both of these, strike two. Therefore, I will proceed with an unannounced third plague. And then that pattern resets itself. Morning, palace, without warning. Morning, palace, without warning. Now, the 10th plague is set apart from this pattern of nine, and that is going to be done at midnight. Now, I also should say that these plagues are connected, like I said before, to various Egyptian gods, and we'll mention those along the way. But it's interesting that plagues 1 and 2 deal with the Nile. Plagues 3 and 4 deal with insects. Plagues 5 and 6 deal with diseases. Plagues 7 and 8, hail and locusts, deal with the crops. And plagues 9 and 10 deal with darkness. So there is a dual pattern as we look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, 10, in those pairs of plagues. Now, plague number one, Nile and fresh water turned to blood. Now, the Egyptian god of the Nile was Hapi or Happy. The Nile god was worshipped by the Egyptians and was considered the god of fertility. So to turn water, which is life, into blood, which is death, is a direct attack on this false god. Let's read Exodus chapter 7, verses 20 through 21. And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord had commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, there's some other passages in the Psalms that look back and retell the story. Psalm 78, verses 43 and 44. When he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams, they, the Egyptians, could not drink. Psalm 105, verses 27 through 29 speaks of this incident as well. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. So we get more accounts and confirmation of this first plague from other passages. Notice that there's no discouragement by Moses. Numbers 35:33. So you shall not pollute the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and no atonement can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. Very fascinating. So you get this another aspect of this plague, that it's polluting the land. And the Egyptians understood this. Genesis 4:10, speaking to the murder of Abel by the hands of Cain. And God said, and I believe this was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, "What have you done, Cain? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." All those baby Hebrew boys that were killed by the Egyptians, their blood was crying out. All the slaves that were killed by the Egyptian taskmasters, their blood was crying out. And then this first plague, blood is throughout the land. Now, what's fascinating for me as I study the scriptures is the parallel of the plagues of Egypt to the parallel of the plagues of the tribulation. And it's actually fascinating, some of these parallels, because, for example, you have a nation that is enslaved, the Israelites. And when the plagues are over, they are exited out of Egypt and they go into the promised land to begin the kingdom, right? But in the tribulation, it's the same thing. The world is persecuting the Jews. The Antichrist is going after them. Same and similar plagues come along. And what happens when all the plagues, the tribulation is over? The Jews are exited the tribulation and they are ushered into the millennial kingdom to receive their promise. Literally, they're going into the promised land to receive their promises. So I don't want you to miss this connection. That's why some of these plagues overlap, so that we don't miss this connection. Revelation chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. "These are the two olive trees," that's the two witnesses, "and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouths and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire." So you can see that pattern there. Revelation 16:3, "Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea and became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died." And Revelation chapter 16, 4 through 7, "Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, 'You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due.' And I heard another from the altar saying, 'Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments.'" So do you see this connection? In a sense, because of the blood spilt by the Egyptians, God is giving them blood to drink. God's totally consistent in his judgment and his wrath. Now, Exodus 7:22, we see that the magicians of Egypt replicate this plague. Verse 22, "Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said." The magicians, wise men and sorcerers, are included in this term. And Pharaoh's heart grows hard, more hardening, no heeding. And verse 23, he rejects God's warning. It says, "And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this." That expression means no inclination to change current course. The implication is no love for his people or others. There's no water in the land. And he does not worry about it. It does not matter to him because his heart is hard towards God, to Israel, and even his own people. And see, chastening and judgment hardens one heart to the point where you are unable to love others rightly. So guard your heart. Confess your sin. Keep a tender heart towards others. And in the last verse, 24 here, there's a few more left. "So all the Egyptians dug all around the river for water to drink because they could not drink the water of the river." Dug around, excavated the land to find water to survive. And by the way, I don't want you to miss this connection. As they made the Israelites scatter for straw to live throughout the land to make bricks, so this first plague made them search and scatter for water to live. The implication, false gods always fail, and in the end, you are always worse off. Jeremiah 2:13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And then God takes a break for 7 days. Verse 25, "And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river." This is an astounding first plague. And you can see the connection of the past with the Hebrew babies and the Israelite slaves being persecuted and destroyed. And now God brings back that blood from the land as a vivid, living illustration. You have shed the blood of my people. You shall drink their blood. How could they not see the connection? But if their heart is hard like Pharaoh, they're not going to see the connection. They're going to be angry. They're going to blame. They're going to go to their idols and think they may have done something wrong and they need to appease their false god or their false idol. But let there be no mistake. They are beginning to understand something is happening that's never happened before. And there is going to be more to come that is more devastating than just this. At least in this plague, they were able to dig and find something to drink in a desert. But boy, oh boy, God's judgment is just beginning. It will increase not only in quantity, but in quality. And also, I don't want you to miss the connection with the tribulation. This is really significant. As God is bringing an end to the Gentile rule of the earth, which has spilt the blood of the prophets and the saints, they too are deserving judgment. They too are being plagued by God, by the trumpet judgments, by the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. And it's striking to see how God does exactly the same thing, turning their water into blood. And so let it be understood, brothers and sisters, that our God is not like any other God. And when he chooses to show his wrath, it is unmistakable, and where can you flee? And there is a wrath to come that you must flee from, and the only place to find refuge is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not trusted in his person and cross work that cancels out your certificate of debt, if you are in your heart still rejecting and refusing, if you are hardening your heart like Pharaoh, refusing to heed to the word of God, you are headed into disaster. And this is a great reminder that we are not one to trifle with the creator of the universe. God, though he is wrathful, he is also tender, merciful. Why would you not repent and trust in him and receive the forgiveness of your sins that you so desperately need? What are those secret sins that you have? What are those things you are unwilling to confess to God? No matter what the sin is, there is mercy, abundant mercy. And if you are terrified by the wrath of God, and you should be, flee to his son for refuge. And remember this, as great as his wrath is, and it is great, his kindness and compassion far exceeds. He will, for generations, as it says Moses learned, show compassion. So may you flee today from the wrath of God and seek refuge in faith alone in Christ alone, not by works, but by faith, and discover the compassion and mercy of God and avoid the judgment to come, the wrath to come.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at the Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about the Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.